Today's episode is proudly brought to you by the Biting Truth Cookbook, packed with delicious, healthy, and practical recipes. Before we begin, we would like to recognize and respect that we are recording from Guringai Country.
Hi, and welcome to the Biting Truth Podcast. We're your go-to buddies for all things nutrition. Join us as we navigate the intricate world of nutrition and give you the latest and greatest advice. So grab a seat and let's chat about staying healthy and informed.
I'm Alex, and with me is my co-host, Anna.
Hi, guys.
And we are the dietitians and founders of The Biting Truth. In today's episode, we are talking all about greens powders. Now, if you're on social media, the likelihood is that you've seen influencers and celebrities promoting these powdered greens. With so many different brands and a lengthy list of wild marketing claims, including energy boosting, immune supporting, and hormone balancing benefits, you're probably wondering, should you be including these greens powders into your diet? So that's what we want to focus on in today's episode. We're going to be looking at the research, what the hell is actually in these green powders, and we're going to be giving you our expert nutrition opinion. But before we dive in, as always, Anna, do you have a recipe, restaurant, product recommendation for us this week?
I don't have a recommendation, but I kind of just wanted to share with you where I'm at the moment. And it's interesting because when we research for these podcasts, you end up, you know, coming up to date on all the research, which, you know, we're already across, but you really deep dive. We watch videos, we listen to podcasts, we read a lot, and it can be very convincing. And it's always this good reminder for what we're doing in our own diets. You know, I often reflect as I'm researching for different podcasts, not this one per se, but researching a lot about longevity. And it comes up time and time again, really, whatever podcast, whatever topic you're researching, the importance of eating more vegetarian meals, including more vegetarian proteins. And as you know, Alex and I like to claim we're flexitarians. So, you know, essentially we try to reduce meat and eat more vegetarian. But for me, that's still something I really have to focus on. In terms of, you know, cooking vegetarian, then breakfast is always vegetarian, almost always. Lunch, I do often like to have meat as well, but it's sometimes, but I find dinners, like I really have to think about vegetarian dinners because my go-to are, you know, salmon dishes, chicken dishes, a beef dish. I really have to think about it. And I sat down with Ed the other night and I said, I really want to try to at least just do one vegetarian meal a week. And I think Mondays is a great night to do it.
Meatless Monday.
Exactly. We're recording this on a Monday. So, you know, maybe I've got to think about what I can do for dinner that's going to be vegetarian. And he said, yeah, he's down for it. And I think in my mind, if I was cooking for myself, I feel like I'd do more vegetarian, but I'm so conscious of Ed. You know, whenever I've cooked vegetarian, he might say like, oh, there's not enough protein or this isn't filling. But he is very much for this. And I say like, you know, we'll do like tofu stir fries. Like we have a really good tofu soba noodle salad stir fry in our cookbook. It doesn't have tofu, but I'm going to add tofu, but it's got edamame beans. So it's got the protein. I'll really make sure it's high in protein. I think fritters are another really good one, you know, that have the egg as a protein source. Like we have a delicious halloumi and zucchini fritter recipe in the cookbook. Black bean burgers, that is one vegetarian meal we do a lot. But even lately, you know, pork or beef has snuck its way into that because, you know, you just end up doing that. Minestrone soup in the winter, I do love. But I'm going to really try to continue to build my repertoire. And I know curries, vegetarian curries are great. Often if I order Indian out, I'll get vegetarian as well.
But I do agree though. Like often I find that's a roadblocker for me. I'm not blaming because I can't, but the boys, you know, yeah. Angus doesn't really love tofu, but he'll be happy to eat legumes and things. But yeah. I do just feel like naturally we lean towards the meat options. But I do find it easier when I'm just having lunch. It's just for me because if he's at work, then I'll focus on lunch can be more vegetarian. And then
I might put you on the spot here, but do you have any vegetarian dinners that are your go-to?
Kind of basically what you said, like from what Angus would eat, like the black bean burgers, which is in the cookbook, also the bean burrito bowls. That would be another one that we would make that's in the cookbook. Lentil bolognese. So all the kind of
you
mostly
also
like
love a frittata and or the spinach pie.
But the spinach pie, which Anna thinks I just talk about way too often. But that would more be I would make that for lunch. Although I do, Angus, we probably do have that once a week and then I'll have leftovers for lunch. And sometimes I'll just cook up like some tofu or like marinate tofu and just fry it up. And then I will have that in salads because I'm so, yeah, I do find it's more achievable to have a vegetarian lunch and then maybe once or twice a week we have it for dinner.
Yeah, okay.
It's hard.
That's a good reminder of the Mexican bowl. Actually, Mexican's a great cuisine to go vegeo because there's so many flavours and
nachos,
I love black beans.
So good.
Nachos. Yeah, okay, good. This is a conversation I needed to have. Thank you. And for any of our listeners, if you have vegetarian recipes that you love, hit us up. We always love to hear these. And, you know, often we take these recipes, improve them, make them healthier, and then we can, you know, publish that on our website. So, yeah.
Let us know.
And
actually,
what about you?
Got, just on that quickly, I think it was in a recent episode, Anna was asking you guys for some pizza-based recipes and a few of you wrote in on it to our Instagram and shared recipes. So
thanks, guys. Appreciate the love.
What have I been loving? So random, and I've probably talked about this before, but I feel like passion fruits are back on special at the moment. I don't know if it's their like peak season or what's going on, but I seriously love a good passion fruit. I do find them quite unpredictable in terms of like, are you going to get a good one? But my general approach is like, choose the heaviest bag of passion fruits that I can find. But I think I bought some on the weekend for like $3.99 a bag, which seems quite reasonable, but I literally love them so much. And when you ask what I do with them, I literally just cut them in half and eat them with a spoon. Like I could eat like three or four in one go. I'll sometimes add them to plain yogurt. It's so yum.
I like when you can buy them individually because then you can really get and.
But then they're often
there's
quite
different
expensive.
Types of passion fruits, and some of them are like those big kind of lighter color. They're always full.
Yeah.
Whereas those other like shriveled up ones, often you cut that open, there's literally like half a teaspoon in there. It's the saddest.
Yeah, you've really got a feel for the heaviness. But I have talked about this before on our Instagram, and I was asking like who also loves passion fruits, and a lot of people said they didn't because they were really unpredictable. And I sort of feel the same way about avocados, really like I don't always buy them because I'm like, oh, is this just going to be mush?
You just got to become a good avo picker.
I mean, Angus often gets them and we get them from the market.
Think avocados are quite reliable. So I'm like, they're so hard often and you think they're ripe and then you can't eat them. So taste as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, although we'd love to keep talking about passion fruits and avo, let's jump into the episode. Powdered greens, what are they?
All right. So this whole powdered greens, superfood powders, this whole phenomenon we're seeing across social media, I mean, it's not something new, but, you know, it's definitely become trendy again from what I've seen. There's lots of different brands. You know,
Athletic Greens is one of the really common ones.
Yeah, there's like Daily Greens, Super Greens. There's so many different varieties. And essentially what they say to do is just mix one scoop of the powdered greens into a glass of water. Or you can add it to a shake and you get all the vitamins and minerals you need for the day, plus other added health benefits like a strong immune system, better digestion, more energy, all these amazing things.
Or sometimes they claim to like meet all your fruit and veggie requirements or something like that. And I've actually like quite a few of my friends have started taking these recently and they often ask me about them and I say like, oh, do you really want to know?
How much time do you
have? I won't spoil it. I'll just direct them towards this podcast in the future.
So what's actually in these powdered greens?
Yeah, so they typically consist of a blend of dehydrated or powdered fruits or veggies, and the specifics of each powdered green differs majorly from brand to brand. But often they contain like 25 to 40 different ingredients, and they usually have a lot of, you know, specific ingredients have been added, whether it's spirulina or seaweed or probiotics or prebiotics or protein or, you know, all these sort of plant substances like ginseng. And I mean, I don't even, you know, all those like adaptogens is what they call them. A whole list that you often won't even recognize.
Yeah, things like dandelion root, rose hip, you know, milk thistle, seed extract.
Basically, they throw the kitchen sink into a powder and give it to you at a really high cost and tell you it's going to have a huge health benefit.
Sounds amazing, right?
And sometimes they've been people will mix them into smoothies or porridge, as you said. Pretty much anything that you can dissolve it into, you could eat it that way. They're so enticing, right? It sounds so easy, but like most things nutrition related, it's never that simple. And it's likely that you're going to need more than a scoop of a powdered green to improve your overall well-being. So Alex, let's have a look at the science. What does it actually say?
Yeah. So if you're already following a reasonably balanced diet, you're incorporating fruits and vegetables, whole grains, then and you aren't deficient in any vitamins or minerals, then you probably don't need to take one of these powdered greens. It's not going to have a benefit.
Mm, yeah, exactly. And many of these drinkable greens, they tout health benefits, like Alex sort of earlier mentioned, you know, whether it's immunity, digestion, energy, But really, there is no solid science to back up any of these claims.
We do, though, have solid science about eating, you know, fruits and vegetables and whole foods in the diet. And sure, if you want to, you can take these green powders as a supplement, but they should not be used to replace these whole foods in your diet.
And the minor amount of research that does exist, it is often sponsored or funded by the companies that manufacture the green powders. And we're not saying that that makes the study completely irrelevant, because in a lot of circumstances, you know, the manufacturer is the only one that has the money to fund those. But really, the research, they're poor quality studies as well. So we really always need to take research that is funded by the company that manufacture them with a grain of salt. We need to make sure we really look at it. And really, there's no clear-cut evidence to back up a lot of the claims about these green powders.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, say it's like, you know, got vegetables in it, like broccoli or spinach, like when these vegetables are being ground down to be put into a supplement or a powder, we're going to lose some of the benefits in that process. You know, for example, fiber is going to be lost when it's really broken down to go into powder. And we know that fiber is really important for digestion.
And it just seems so silly to me. They dehydrate it, they grind it all down, so the fiber often gets removed, and then they add the fiber back in. It's like, why don't you just eat fresh fruit and veggies and you're going to get all those nutrients in the whole food that they're meant to be eaten in? Now, if we kind of just go look at some of the specific reasons that people take the greens powders. And again, this is quite anecdotal. A lot of people say, well, I've been taking them and I have had an energy boost, or they take it to boost energy. Now, what's quite interesting is that all of these greens powders claim to be low in calorie, but to boost energy. So you've got to ask yourself, well, where's that energy coming from? And in a lot of cases, it's actually because they contain green tea extract, so it contains caffeine. So they're getting the caffeine, which gives them the energy. So there's nothing magical happening. You'd probably be better off actually just having a coffee, and it's a cheaper solution as well. Or if you've got low energy, let's have a look at your diet. Are you getting enough food in overall, enough calories? Have you got iron in there? It can be a bit of a band-aid there, or a bit misleading, because you think it's this like magical powdered green that's like suddenly giving you all this vitality and energy, but actually there's just a bit of caffeine in there.
Yeah. And similarly with, say, like claims that these powders are immune boosting. Again, that's a bit misleading, because some may contain things like vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin D, which are nutrients that can help support immunity, but we can get the same nutrients and probably more from following a whole foods diet.
Yeah. And ingredients like echinacea, they're often fortified with echinacea. Again, the research just is not good that they actually help improve our immunity, those sorts of ingredients.
But they do sound quite good and quite appealing. So you can see why people, you know, around winter want to start adding these sorts of things into their diet.
I think the topic of gut health is a little bit more interesting. And at least, you know, if someone is taking a powdered green to support gut health, I might be a little bit more understanding of that reason. And that's because a lot of them do have probiotics or prebiotics. Again, what I'd really recommend you do is go listen to our episode on probiotics, where we really deep dive into the fact that what strain are they using, in what quantity, is it reliable? Because if they just say it contains probiotics, that might not have any health benefit at all. Prebiotics is essentially adding fibers in there. And if you have digestive issues, it's unlikely that the greens powder is going to fix it. But, you know, there might be some benefit towards improving overall gut health.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when it comes to like our opinion and what our thoughts are on these sort of greens powders, I mean, I find it so frustrating when, you know, people start listing out the kind of supplements they're taking in it. And, you know, often it does include some sort of greens powder. But then when we start to go through their diet, they're just, you know, really not paying much attention to their diet. They're making poor choices, but they kind of feel like they're doing something because they're having these green powders. And we know, as we've said in this episode, that there is so much research to suggest the benefits of eating a whole foods diet, and there's very little benefit for having one of these powdered greens.
Yeah, so they can kind of lure you into that false sense of security. Like you think you're leading this really healthy, active lifestyle because you have your greens powder, but then you're drinking copious amounts, you're out for dinner every night, you're skipping meals, and you actually, you know, your diet does not look overall that well balanced. I think the other thing is that they come with a hefty price tag. Sometimes it's extortionate, the cost of these green powders, and you'd be way better off eating whole foods, like you say. And because they don't often replace it, it's in addition. So it's this added cost, which, you know, with the cost of living pressures that we're all under at the moment, it's definitely a place that you can save your money.
Yeah, yeah. And I think people also need to be honest with themselves. And, you know, it's like with anything, like even say we were recommending a probiotic supplement to someone, we would say, you know, maybe take it consistently for a month and then reassess how you're feeling. Whereas people just kind of keep ticking along, having these greens powders sort of ad hoc, and they're just, you know, spending so much money when they're actually not really reaping any benefits. So it's really important to check in with yourself and question, is this offering me anything?
And look, in a lot of circumstances when it comes to supplements like this, often, you know, there's no harm, even though there might not be any huge benefit, we'll often say, but there's no real harm in doing it. And look, in most cases, that's going to be the case with a greens powder. There might not be any downside to taking it either, other than the, you know, the price tag. But you do need to be a little bit careful, because sometimes they have really high amounts of certain vitamins and minerals, which actually can cause harmful effects if you're already having enough of, say, vitamin A. That's one that we know. If you're already getting enough vitamin A in your diet, or maybe you're taking a multivitamin as well and you're getting vitamin A, if you then have a greens powder that's providing vitamin A, that actually can be quite toxic. Having too much of some vitamins and minerals is dangerous. Other ones, the body is really efficient at just removing.
Yeah, and this is obviously rare, so it's sort of in extreme circumstances, but it's just something to be mindful of, you know. Just because something's meant to be healthy doesn't mean you can just have endless amounts.
Or if you're pregnant or breastfeeding, yes, we wouldn't recommend taking one, because that's where you do need to be quite conscious of your levels of certain vitamins like vitamin A.
And I think we just want to be mindful that it's a very unregulated industry. You know, you walk into a pharmacy or a supermarket and there's probably lots of different options and varieties of these sort of greens powders, and no one's really regulating, looking at what actual ingredients are in there. So are they 100% safe? You know, that's something that we would really question.
So are there any pros or benefits to taking a powdered green?
I think for some people, they may experience benefits, whether or not that's placebo, who knows. But if they feel like they're getting benefits, particularly for their digestion, then I would see that as could be a good thing.
Or if, you know, you have your powder green in the morning and then that makes you, you know, have a salad for lunch because you want to continue that sort of health run. And then, you know, you're also going to the gym or being physically active and you have a healthy dinner, you're making your meals.
It kind of encourages that healthy cycle. I get that feeling from exercise. If I go for a run in the morning, I then start my day with healthy breakfast and I want to go on and on. And on.
Yeah, or you know, sometimes like you pop a vitamin and you're like, oh, I'm such a health queen. I'm a walking chickpea.
Which I think a lot of people do it for that reason. Yeah. But
yeah. And maybe it will help with digestion for some people.
Yeah. And I think, look, if you are sitting here and going, oh my God, I've just got a big bag of greens powder that I need to get through. Like, we're not saying that, you know, you shouldn't be having it or you can't have it. But I think it's just important to keep in mind that there isn't a whole huge amount of research to back them up. And you can certainly get all those nutrients from just having a healthy, balanced diet. But if you want to have it in addition to a healthy, balanced diet and you reap the benefits, then
go ahead. Yeah. And just if you do want to take one, be conscious of what brand you go with. Go with a brand you know and try to look for a product that has minimal ingredients. And they're all going to have some additives in there, but look for ones, you know, ideally that don't have artificial sweeteners or, you know, even sugar or whatever added to it if you can. And just please remember, like, still eat fruit and veggies. It does not replace that.
So the bottom line is that they're probably not going to be, you know, pose a huge risk to the average person, but they're also not necessarily going to do much good. So if you want to take them, but it's not going to solve all your nutritional problems.
Yeah. And we'd probably, as I just said, rather you eat actual greens. If you're going to take it, do it on top of a healthy, balanced diet and exercise, not instead of the work. It is a supplement. It needs to supplement a diet, not replace it. And some of those claims are ridiculous. And, you know, they're not going to, as Alex said, solve all your nutritional issues and fix everything all at once.
Well, I think we've spoken enough about greens powders. If you have any other questions on this topic, feel free to jump into our DMs on Instagram at The Biting Truth. Or if there's any other supplements or superfoods that you're interested in, please let us know.
And this episode was brought to you by The Biting Truth Cookbook, which is our go-to book to make healthy, delicious, well-balanced, affordable meals, particularly during the week. We've got a link to the cookbook. We've got a digital and a hard copy version, and you can get that in the episode notes.
And you'll get all the greens you need in all of our recipes in the cookbook. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode, guys, and we look forward to be back in your ears next week.
Bye. Bye.